Today on Real Radio.
Listen, seeing is not believing. You've seen a lot of things in this life. Believing is seeing. Why? The veil is lifted. Didn't that happen to Paul the Apostle when the scales fell off of his eyes on the road to Damascus?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series now through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. There's a section in chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul writes of unbelievers who've been blinded to the light of the gospel by the, quote, God of this world. Now, of course, this is God with a small g, referring to Satan himself, whose mission is to keep people in the dark as much as he can. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called A Plan Right Out of Hell.
Listen, this is free. If you want to teach your little kids to pray, get them like a little slice of a donut or some little kind of a sweet thing that they love, maybe a little waffle with some syrup on it. They love that stuff. But they can't have it yet. Put it in front of them, and they'll go like this. And say, okay, thank Jesus for it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, there you go. Listen, I'm dead serious. That child is learning to be thankful. Thanks God. And when you have that relationship with God, you get to have sweet things. Teach them. Open their eyes to the light. And then the word perishing here. They are perishing because they don't understand the gospel. The word means to be in the grip of destruction. This is a serious word. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are being gripped by the satanic power of the devil. And they are in the grip of destruction. They are in the very process of being destroyed. The word means fully. To be totally lost. To be absolutely in the state of catastrophe. The word can also be translated, the gospel is veiled to those who are damned. A plan right out of hell. In no uncertain terms, the Bible makes it very clear, there's an eternity, and your soul will be somewhere in eternity. Where will your soul be? The second thing is in verse 4 as well, dark about your reason. Not only your soul, but your reason. There's a plan right out of hell to keep you in the dark about your reasoning or your thinking, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Is this not violent? Satan is out roaming around right now against your soul and against your mind. By the way, the word soul is the word in Greek psuche. It's the root word to the word psychology, which we say in English, psychology, the study of the soul. And let me tell you something. You can study the soul all you want, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will never, never get down to the nitty-gritty of soulology. Because that soul belongs to God. He made it. And that's why philosophy can never appease and satisfy the soul. That's God's territory. Whose minds, whose soul, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded. Notice Satan's domain. It's his backyard, planet Earth is. Isn't that weird? It's a bit freaky to think, but this world is Satan's turf. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, Jesus in the book of Revelation is handed a scroll. Remember that? And he unfurls that scroll and he meets all the requirements and the demands in the Jewish world. That scroll is the title deed. Somebody who was buying something had to meet all the demands that are in the title deed. When Jesus in the book of Revelation is handed the scroll, he is handed back. Listen, what Adam and Eve did in the garden, they took the scroll, as it were, the title deed of the earth, and they handed it to Satan. And by the way, we've been doing that ever since. When we don't follow Jesus, when we want to do our own thing, when our minds are blinded, listen, we just hand Satan one more brick to build up this wall between us and God. Adam and Eve sold, as it were, the dominion of this earth to Satan by their disobedience. Jesus, read the fine print of the Bible, Jesus gets it back. Hallelujah. That's going to be a great day. It's amazing to realize that in the book of Job and other places, I'll paraphrase it, God says, hey, Satan, Lucifer, where you've been? I mean, God knows that wherever he's at. He knows where he's at. And Satan has amazing special privileges given him by God. And Satan appears before God. He talks to God. Imagine that. Satan walks into the throne room. Hey, here I am. And God allows that. By the way, another bit of fine print. It's all going to turn on his neck in the end. It's kind of cool. And the Bible tells us that God says, have you considered my servant Job? And the Bible says that Satan, when he answered the Lord, he said, I've been walking to and fro throughout all the earth. You ever think about that? Satan is localized. He's not everywhere. And he's got a lot of demons, the Bible talks about, where it seemingly feels like Satan's everywhere, but I would say it's safe to say that none of us have ever encountered Satan by person. He's out there messing up the people who make policy. For real, I'm not joking. I'm not kidding. He goes to where the seat of power is at. Why? Because he can get the mind of one man to make decisions and to change a direction of a world or of a nation. He visits kings and queens and prime ministers and presidents and no doubt global church leaders that are really effective. I'm not talking about ones that are all a bunch of showmanship. I'm talking about real ones. He wants to malign and get into the minds and confuse things and alter reason, the way that you think. The word mind here, that tremendous meaning of psychology or soulology. It talks about the process of your reasoning. Mark this, everybody. Are you guys with me? Yes. Mark this. This is serious. Man, when I studied this week, and I thought, man, Lord, keep me from falling for this trick. That Satan desires to get inside your head, and he's already in the head of those who don't believe Christ, to do this, to mess with the process of your reasoning. The word means to mess with your way of thinking, to mess with your opinion, to mess with your intellect. Listen, to mess with your disposition toward the world. I want you to think about that for a moment. The Bible says Satan gets into the minds of people to mess with the way they see things. Yesterday, up in the mountains, Lake Arrowhead, I was getting ready to go down the street, and I saw a bumper sticker. And it had the gay flag on one side, and the other side said, keep your crucifixion out of my constitution. And I looked at it for a moment, and I was so wanting to pull the person over. Whoop, 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 meep, meep, meep. Pull over, and not for any reason except for this. I would love to have gone to the door and say, well, excuse me, I saw your bumper sticker. Keep your crucifix out of my constitution. I can't do that. Here's the reason why. The Constitution came out of the Mayflower Compact. That's where it came from. And much of the Constitution is written by the treaties or from the treaties of John Locke. Our founding father said so. And based upon the Mayflower Compact, it said that the pilgrims have come to America to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I can't do that. I can't do that. The truth is, you're in the wrong country. I mean, that would be true. You can't separate that. I mean, that's just history, man. And people even today would say, no way, that's wrong. There you go. Listen, there you go. In whom's the mind, the God of this world is blinded. You can't think straight. I'm not asking you to agree or disagree. I'm asking you to hear. You can't think straight when he has tampered with your mind. It's a mind issue. It's not a hate issue. It's not a God loves me, God hates you issue. It's none of that stuff. It's a reality issue. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The reason why, my friend, by the way, you're not a believer today is simply because you don't want to be. That's a serious thing to consider. Blinded. These words are pregnant. I'm giving you these words, I know, but these are pregnant words of meaning. The word blinded means to make cloudy, confused. Listen, you know how sickening confusion is? Don't you hate confusion? Don't you feel helpless when you're confused? Do you feel confused right now? Are some of you confused right now? Did you know that's of a satanic origin? Confusion? He visits that upon the believer. We fight that back with the word of God. And he visits that upon the unbeliever, and you ain't got nothing to fight with. You just walk around and live in a state of confusion. I don't know. Well, what about this? I don't know. Well, what are you going to do about this? I don't know. And you're constantly terrorized. And the sad thing is Satan gets you to live in that mode after a while that you begin to think it's normal. Blinded, to make cloudy, opaque, to fog up, to tamper with one's reasonings. Dr. J. Vernon McGee writes this, when someone is under the sway of Satan, when you talk to them about God or the things of God, he says they want to argue immediately over the days of creation. Watch this. Rather than hear the gospel, they want to argue immediately about world peace and about world hunger and about cancer and about death. Isn't that true? Think of this. Watch this. But they're totally incapable and unable to know the answer. Why? Because their mind, their desires, their soul is not willing to change the angle of how they view Christ, which is the answer to your blindness, which is the answer to the other questions. Somebody wants, okay, I'll be a believer if you answer me. In the beginning, God created. Tell me how he did that. Wrong question. Listen, even if you gave them the answer, which you have done, haven't you? Did they accept it or reject it? They reject it every time. You want to know why? The reason why is because the issue is who Jesus Christ is. They can't hear the truth. They can't see the truth. Their minds are blinded because the issue is Jesus. What do they think of Jesus? The great question ever, I think, asked mankind. Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And when you can answer that correctly, everything else fits. I have no problem with Genesis 1:1 because I know John 1:1. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. It's all about him. Well, I want to answer about the guy running around in South America with a bone in his nose, and he doesn't know. Oh, you know what? If I gave you the answer, you wouldn't believe it. You would just argue about it. The issue is, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Almighty God come to earth, dying on a cross, rose again from the dead? I don't believe that. Then listen, if we were to go down there right now and find us a little guy running around naked in South America with a bone in his nose, and he told you something, you would still not believe it. Because there's a veil over your eyes. And you may be here today. And there's a veil. You want to argue about everything. You're veiled. Satan's blinded your eyes. How can there be an eternity? How can there be a God? How can there be blinded? I've said it before. I'll say it again. Listen, seeing is not believing. You've seen a lot of things in this life. Believing is seeing. Why? The veil is lifted. Didn't that happen to Paul the Apostle when the scales fell off of his eyes on the road to Damascus? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us before God day and night. Hey, how many of you sinned in the last 24 hours? Raise your hands. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, you just sinned right now. So here's the deal. Satan, the Bible says, appears before God and says, Todd, I'll just pick on you because I like picking on you. Hey, God, did you see what Todd thought? Todd did? Todd said? Accuser, day and night before the brethren, you and I. Always doing that. And here's the scary thing. Exactly. He's right. I was in the state of conviction yesterday most of the time. I started the morning waking up in Lake Arrowhead and taught the guys up there in the morning. And then I had to be in Santa Barbara for a funeral service and then back here. And I got to head up to Reno after third service today. And let me tell you, I had to get to these commitments, 55 miles an hour did not work for me. And the Lord was, you know, the next thing is this, is that to keep you in the dark about your faith. Dark about your faith. In verse 4, he says that those who are blinded are those who do not believe. How clear is that? In John 3:19, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation. This is why a person is living in a state of damnation. That light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Is that not true? Come on. Before I met Jesus, I loved darkness. You did too. You can get away with stuff in the dark. People can't see what you're doing in the dark because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Do you want the truth? Listen, right now, watch. As this word goes out, because it's the word of God, it's not the word of Jack. Do you want the truth? If you do, you are going to come to the light. And that's a terrifying step, but it's a step you're willing to take because you want the truth. You will draw near to Christ, warts and all. I'm coming, Jesus. My sin, my failure, my brokenness, I'm coming to you, Jesus. You are the Savior of the universe. You are my Lord, my Savior, and I'm coming to accept you now, and I come. And you know what? You cannot but come. And then there are those who are saying, no way, are you kidding? I mean, I believe in God and stuff, but I am not going to give him up, or I'm not going to give her up, or I'm not going to give it up. You love darkness more than the light. Which one is it? Don't say anything out loud, please. But which one is it for you? And you have an internal witness right now responding to my question. Are you in the light or are you in the dark? Where's your faith at? In John 12, verse 23, it begins there. Jesus answered and said to them, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He's speaking about his crucifixion. Verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out," is a reference to Satan. Verse 32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples," or nations, it means you and I must look at Jesus. Verse 33, "This Jesus said, signifying by what death he would die." Jesus prophesied, "I'm going to be crucified, but every person in the world will have to consider me and make a decision about me." Church, listen, regarding faith, Satan wants to keep you in the dark about faith. Satan will lie to you and say, "Well, faith, man, that's too mysterious." No, it's not. "Oh, that's too foreign." No, it's not. Faith. Satan will say faith is this ignorant, blind leap. No, it's not. And you know it's not. Faith's not foreign to us. We use faith all the time. You see, you and I use faith so much all the time that we don't even consider it faith anymore. It's such a second nature to us. You get in the car and you turn the key. You don't hardly ever. I say this hesitating because Lisa and I used to own cars where, "Oh, Lord, please let it start. Let it start." But most of us, you get in the car, you put the key in, you never think about, oh, why? Because you have faith that that thing is going to work. You get in that airplane and you don't even think about it. You have faith that the people up there in the front end knows, they know how to do this thing, and that those big engines are going to throw you down in that piece of metal down the end of the runway, and right before you run out of space, it's going to go up in the air. You have faith? We use faith all the time. You put your seatbelts on, believing that they're going to protect you in an accident. So don't tell me, don't listen to Satan when he says faith is ridiculous. He's lying to you. He's the father of lies. Faith works. Faith is not mysterious. How can it be mysterious when you put your faith in God and then you see God do stuff? Or maybe your faith is waking up right now to the existence of God and you start to realize, man, I look back over my life and wow, now I see that God was at work in my life. It's not mysterious. It's not hard. Listen. It's not hard. My biggest problem, Lisa and I talked about this last night on our way home. Our biggest problem is as we grow older, it's harder to maintain faith. Listen, everybody, cheer up, listen up. Are you older now than you were last year? Every one of us, our faith is to be increasing, but in other areas we struggle with growing up because we go further away from that childlike faith from the beginning. The key of Christianity is to grow strong in faith, and as you get older, you maintain a childlikeness of faith before God. God says this, and you do it. God says that, and you believe it. Just like a little kid. Amen. Jesus said, you want to get to heaven? Become like one of these. What is he saying? He's saying, I can say something to them, and they'll do it without hesitation. I can say, I love you, and they'll just smile. Or they'll just shrug their shoulder and say, yeah, of course you do. My grandkids know. My kids know. We love them. Do you know that? Who are you in this? Is the gospel veiled? Do you argue about it? Is it a big deal where you have to fight about it? The existence of God? Is it a debatable thing for you? Well, let's talk about it. I challenge you to debate. That's a waste of time. Because you're in the dark. And the amazing thing is, if I were to debate you about the existence of God, I could be the greatest debater in the universe and give you every bit of truth, and it just bounces off the front of your forehead. Isn't it amazing that even miraculous signs do not convince people? Why? The God of this world has blinded your eyes so that you do not believe. Well, Pastor, what's the evidence if I do believe? That when you pick up this word and you read it, you believe what he's telling you. When he says stand up, you stand up. When he says sit down, you sit down. When he says this about that or this about the other, listen, the people who are blind get really upset with what I'm about to say. You know that old bumper sticker way back? I mean, it's so old. I think I've seen it on donkeys. It's so old. It says something like, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, the truth is, God said it, period. That's it. That's God said it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Do you understand that? Believing it doesn't make it true. It's true if you believe it or not. But I know what you're saying. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's beautiful. And then the world that's blinded will say, you guys have been brainwashed, you Christians. Look at you. You can't even think for yourself. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. I have family members say, that book does all your thinking for you. Thank God for the compliment. Hallelujah. See, I can't be a Christian. I'm a free-spirited person. Free-spirited, huh? Yeah. I do things my own way. Yeah. That's obvious. Think about that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called A Plan Right Out of Hell, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may remember the Engage conference, which we held last summer. We got a lot of calls from a lot of believers regarding how to deal with the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision on so-called same-sex marriage, as well as some other issues, so we held the Engage conference. We've since also got a lot of inquiries from a lot of folks who are unable to attend that conference but wanted to hear the audio. Well, here's some good news. You can purchase the audio of the entire conference on a USB drive. Ah, technology today. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.